Good evening, folks, and welcome to tonight's City Council meeting. It is a regularly scheduled meeting, and we begin each meeting by asking our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown. Don Cummings. Ralph Dantino.
Ralph Dantino here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Gene Kilberg.
Here.
Greg Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have heard via teleconference, Alderman Ralph Dantino of the 5th Ward is joining us. Illinois statute provides for aldermen to join us in a meeting and to participate in that meeting. If an alderman is not feeling too hot and or traveling on business, Mr. Dantino is home joining us via the magic of this telephone. Mr. Cummings is in Switzerland, I believe, vacationing, so he's not allowed to join us.
We join him.
Yes, we should. We should join him, for God's sake. So welcome to all of you. We always begin our city council meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I would love and I would be honored if the Scouts would join us and lead us in the pledge. So we'll follow your lead, okay, guys?
To the flag. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. And we understand you're here this evening to, I guess, in part, earn your citizenship badge. Is that right? So you're here by coercion? Do you know what coercion means? Good. It's the same reason the Tribune's here, I think. Well, we're glad you're here, guys. If you have any questions throughout this process, just raise your hand, okay?
Sorry, I forgot to look.
Our first item of business, item 3A, presentation of Boy Scout Troop 37 and their pancake breakfast coming up on Saturday, March the 10th. Okay. The tallest scout, please step forward.
Gotta grab the mic.
How are you, sir?
Excellent. Hi, my name is Bob Tomaszewski, and this Saturday, March 10th, from 7:30 to 11 a.m., I am hosting a pancake breakfast at the Geneva Lutheran Church to raise money for my Eagle Scout project, which is to make improvements to the gazebo outside this very building. I am providing weatherproofing stain, solar lighting for the pathway leading up to the gazebo, and a bench, which will be in place of the bike rack in front of the gazebo. The goal of this project is to get more people to visit this gazebo and learn about the Lincoln, Illinois Highway that cuts through downtown. Any extra proceeds that result from the Pancake Breakfast fundraiser will be donated to the Geneva History Center. I hope to see you all sometime between 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. this Saturday. Please bring your appetite.
Hold on, Mr. Thomas. 7:30 in the morning?
Yes, sir. That's when I eat breakfast.
I'm just getting in. Are you going to have Pop-Tarts?
I'm going to have sausages, pancakes, orange juice, and coffee.
And who else is assisting you in this project?
Troop 37.
Any of your colleagues with you tonight?
They're over here.
They are. You guys all set for this, getting up early? No? The dad's not, yeah. Now, is this part of your Eagle Scout?
Yes, sir.
It is. So this is the project you chose?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. And how did you come up with this idea?
It was referred to me by another scout.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. What do you know about the Lincoln Highway?
A long time ago, there was scouts who worked on the Lincoln Highway, and they actually planted milestones or, like, mile markers all along the highway. There was, like, 2,000 scouts who did this.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. Is there still a marker here in Geneva?
Probably.
There is.
Oh.
Do you know where it is? Do you know there's an Eagle Scout in this room tonight that might know the answer to that question? Guess who the Eagle Scout is here? Guess who it is? I appreciate the flattery.
You're getting farther from the truth.
No. I was tossed out of the Girl Scouts. The gentleman to my right.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's an Eagle Scout. Do you know that the Scouts planted markers?
I do.
Thank you for that elaborate answer. Did you help plant those?
No, that was a little before my time.
Oh, okay.
Not
okay,
much.
Yeah. And what year were you an Eagle Scout?
1958.
1958. Can you imagine? That was 1 year before the White Sox went to the World Series for the first time or second time, whatever it was. At least they went, said Alderman Dantino, who will now be put on mute. There we go.
Thank you.
Mr. Tomaszewski, that's a pretty ambitious project, man. It's pretty cool.
Thank you.
So when do we hope to see you out there enhancing this property?
It will probably take place over the summer, in probably mid-summer.
Okay. When it's cool.
Yes.
Awesome. And so good this weather. Saturday morning,
yes.
We get to join you for pancakes. Are you doing the cooking?
No, I am leading the Scouts. In,
are you?
Yes, they will be doing the cooking.
Are your mom and dad with you tonight?
Not at the moment, no.
Are they watching you on television?
Probably, I don't know.
Do you know that you're going to be on television all week?
Cool.
Wait till you see the rebroadcast. Every day, four times a day, 7 a.m., 1 p.m., 7 p.m., and 1 a.m., this entire meeting will be rebroadcast. So cool. Make certain you take a look at your presentation. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not really, other than I hope that everybody shows up.
Well, I guarantee you we will. Especially, you know, actually, Alderman Hill actually dedicated the Lincoln Highway.
Actually, I would like to add that the prices are $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $4 for children.
That's been what's your goal? What do you hope to raise?
About $1,000.
$1,000. And $1,000 will do it for you.
Yes.
That's awesome. And if it's inclement weather, are we going to be inside?
Yes.
I hear it's going to be 57 degrees.
It's like a cave.
It's like a what?
A cave.
A cave?
A cave.
Cave. C-A-V-E?
Yes. A cave remains like 52 degrees all year long.
Oh, I didn't know.
Try not to throw science at him.
What grade are you in, Mr. Tomaszewski?
11th grade, a junior.
Junior. And what school do you attend?
Geneva Community High School.
Do you see the guy over your right shoulder?
Well,
not that guy. The guy in the blue.
Probably
hello.
Hello.
That's the dean of students. Hello. Is he a good guy?
I think so.
You do you? What do you really think?
He's all right.
He's all right?
I haven't had any run-ins.
That's good. That's good. Oh, we're very proud of you.
Okay.
And I will see you on Saturday morning.
Okay, thank you.
Good
thank
luck.
You very
good
much.
Luck. Nice job, seriously.
Item number 3B is a presentation by the Natural Resources Committee sharing with us exciting information on the tree program. Right? Here comes the Santa Claus.
That's right.
I like the beard.
Thank you.
How
I just got tired
it,
of shaving.
How long did it take you to grow that?
About 3 days.
Seriously? Hey, Mr. Grubaugh? My God. That's an old joke, by the way.
I don't have a presentation as much as it is a discussion.
Excellent.
I guess it's a presentation. I have a PowerPoint I'm about to show.
Great.
Just kidding.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Oh.
Well, I'm Jay Womack. I'm the chairperson of the Natural Resources Committee. And the last time I was here, we talked about the Emerald Ash Borer and the thought that we're about to lose 2,800 trees just in the parkways of our city alone. And the NRC pledged to help replant those trees. And that was our pledge was to work on that. So I'm here to discuss how we're going to take care of that pledge. It's a fundraiser. It's called Wine, Cheese, and Trees. And it's a fundraiser hosted by the NRC in conjunction with the Western Avenue Get Up and Grow Committee to do a fundraiser together. And so, as the name implies, Wine, Cheese, and Trees. We are going to be hosting an event on April 28th. It's a Saturday at the Geneva History Center from 7 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $50 per person. The proceeds will be split by the NRC to buy trees on behalf of the City of Geneva and the Western Avenue Get Up and Grow Committee to help build their edible schoolyard garden that they are working on currently.
That's the garden we can see from Western Avenue,
right? It is. Okay. It is, which, by the way, I designed for them.
Ah.
And I went to Western Avenue School. I am an alumni.
You did?
I did.
And, Mr. Womack, it's important that you share with us what year you graduated from Western Avenue School. Well, we know it was built in 1964.
So it was probably around 19... I was born 63, 8, 7, probably right around 69 or 70.
All right. So you clearly skipped some classes.
I was a prodigal.
Yes, indeed.
So anyways, we're teamed up with a number of different organizations. One of them is Gibby's Wine Den. They'll be serving 10 wines. We're teamed up with Curds and Whey. They'll be serving 6 cheeses. The members of the NRC and the Get Up and Grow Committee will be making some food, so we'll have appetizers.
Excellent.
We'll have live music, possibly a string quartet from Geneva High School. We will have raffles. We'll possibly have a live auction for 4 Bulls playoff tickets.
Presumptuous, aren't you?
They're from my boss, so I've already grabbed them. but I want to invite everyone. Tickets are on sale at the History Center and at Gibby's. You can email me for tickets. I will personally bring them here for you if you'd like. And we'd love to see everyone there. The only way we're going to be able to accomplish our goal is by having people at the fundraiser, so we really want to encourage people to be there, if at all possible.
Do you want to share your email address with the audience?
I certainly will. It's the initial J, and then W-O-M-A-C-K at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Cool.
What was that date again?
April 28th. It's a Saturday. And it just happens to be exactly 1 week in front of our other event called Earth Day 2012. It's at Peck Farm this year. And we are really excited. We have a lot of good people involved with this educational forum to help support, again, the green movement, the green environmental aspects of Geneva, what we're all doing. We'll be selling rain barrels. We'll have food. We'll have different green products. People can bring electronics to be recycled, papers to be shredded, cork. Foam number 6, those plastic containers that you get with the little recycle symbol with the number 6. Dart Container, one of the only places around, is going to be there, and they'll collect them for us, and they recycle them.
And what are the times? So
1 to 3.
It's from 1 to 3.
1 to 3, and the
that's the April 21st, the Saturday.
The wine, cheese, and trees, what time is that?
That's 7 to 10 p.m.
7 to 10
p.m. at the History Center.
Right. And this is Peck Farm.
And this is at Peck Farm on the Saturday before. So.
Thank you.
If we don't finish our wine the week before,
you can bring it with. Or we'll have doggy bags.
Yeah, awesome. Any questions or comments from Mr. Womack? Do you have colleagues with you tonight from the committee?
I have one gentleman, Bill Deckel.
Oh, yeah.
Part of our NRC committee.
How you doing, Bill?
Good, thanks.
So I have tickets.
Excellent.
For sale.
So do that again.
But
Mr. Radovich, would you mind buying the entire council? Excellent.
Well, thank you.
We look forward to
doing this. And then the end result is to buy as many trees as possible and then get the NRC and some other groups to actually plant them in the parkways
Where
we can. So we'll work with the city on locations and species and all the appropriate
wonderful
information.
And if folks don't know, as you entered City Hall tonight, and it's hard to see in the evening, of course, and it's not at full bloom, but the beautiful landscaping done on the west and the east side of City Hall is courtesy of the Natural Resources Committee. And it's, pardon me? Is it the south? Well, I know, but it's on the east and it's on the east and the west side of the south side.
Lost again?
It's a water garden.
It's a rain garden.
It's a rain garden.
It is a rain garden.
It's wonderful.
They are. Yeah. It's going to be really great this year.
It is going to be beautiful. Thank you for all
you're
you
welcome.
Did.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. $6 for pancakes sounds pretty good right now. Okay, scouts, heads up. Item 3C, Certificate of Appreciation for Police Department Vision, Mission, Statement, Committee. These are the police. They are here in mass. This is the chief, Chief Steve Mexon. Chief, are you an Eagle Scout?
No, not even close. That's why I'm a cop. I won't take a lot of your time this evening, but I wanted to take an opportunity to recognize several people that are in the audience tonight for their participation in the Mission Statement and Vision Statement Committee that we created earlier this year. You may recall that one of the goals of the police department this year was to create a new mission and vision statement, and instead of just deciding to create it on my own, I thought it would be better to get input from various stakeholders inside and outside of the police department, get different perspectives, different thoughts and ideas, and incorporate them into the mission and vision statements. So that's what I did. So looking outside the police department first, I wanted to make sure that I had representation for seniors within our community. So the first name that came to mind was someone who everybody here knows is a champion for the seniors' cause. Anything senior-related, Alderman Singer has always shown a deep commitment and dedication to those causes. So I asked Alderman Singer to be part of the committee, and he graciously accepted. I also wanted someone from the business community to be part of the committee. So I asked Mr. Joe Stanton to also be party to this task, and he also agreed to be part of this. I then wanted someone from the school district and a Geneva resident, and so I asked Mr. Mike Kelly, who is a dean of students at the high school. Also, I wanted someone from the youth to be represented, so I asked the senior class president, Kevin Brulette, to be part of this, and he also agreed. Then looking inside the police department, I asked for various people to represent the various groups within our organization. So I asked Sergeant Cott to represent the supervisors. I asked Detective Kurt Metello to represent the investigations division. Officer Chuck Parisi to represent the officers. Record specialist Beth Nelson to represent the civilians on the department. And then I asked Sergeant Brian Meduzia to be a facilitator to make sure everything stayed on task and continued in the right direction, and we got it accomplished as quickly as we possibly could. So we gathered the committee together, and if I could have the committee, all those who I just mentioned, step forward for a moment. If you could just line up here. Like I said, I won't have you up here long, I promise.
Brulette, man, you're standing in between Dean Kelly and the chief of police. How's it feel?
Feels pretty good.
This committee met on numerous occasions and put a great deal of thought and effort into this process. They stayed on task and really came up with a good final product, which is a mission statement and a vision statement that I think very accurately reflects the purpose of the Geneva Police Department and what we stand for and the direction in which we plan to carry out our mission in the future. So I, on behalf of the police department, I just want to say thank you to everyone publicly for your involvement. I know everyone participated and provided valuable input. There was no one who just sat there and was a bump on the log at all. Everyone actively participated and really provided valuable input, and I really appreciate it, and I think it was something good for the police department and for the community. So thank you very much. And just as a token of thanks, I just want to present everyone with a certificate of appreciation which simply says, with sincere thanks and appreciation for your invaluable contributions to the development of new mission and vision statements for the Geneva Police Department during fiscal year 2011-2012. And there's also a letter of thanks in here and a copy of the mission and vision statement. So with that, Alderman Singer, thank you very much for your help with that.
You know, those certificate holders, Chief, make the Art for All certificates look a little bit... what do you think, Dawn?
Just don't block the view too much.
Chief, would you mind if I read your mission statement out loud?
Not at all. And also, I put some on the credenza outside.
Good.
So if anybody's interested in looking at them,
well, it's a great statement. It says here, with steadfast dedication, each member of the Geneva Police Department takes great pride in providing the City of Geneva with quality service, protection, and enforcement, while maintaining the utmost level of professionalism and integrity. Short, sweet, and to the point. Do you have any words to say, Meduzia?
He said he wanted to talk earlier.
I'm sure he did. Chief, thank you very much. Scouts, do you have any questions about what you just witnessed? Pretty cool, huh? Alderman Singer, would you like to add anything since you participated on the...
Yes, I would. It was really a well worth project, and I have nothing but appreciation for the kind of service that our police department provides for our community. And Brian, you were just absolutely magnificent as our chairperson. You kept it going. You kept us on track. You gave us homework, which I hadn't had in quite a number of years, but it was well appreciated. And you really did quite well in bringing forth what we have presented to us here today. I thank you for that as well.
Any specific or strategic? Oh, God, you're going to speak?
I have to dispute that a little bit.
Well, introduce yourself, so because certainly these kids want to know who you are and where you travel to.
My name's Brian Meduzia. I'm the administrative sergeant for the police department. Basically, if you put a group of people together and try to get collaboration as much as possible, participation from each person, it couldn't have gone better if I tried. Everybody had valuable input. Everybody worked together. Nobody stood by, you know, a certain word or a certain phrase or whatever. Everybody was willing to compromise, and we came up with the best possible statement I think that we possibly could have. So I want to say thank you to all of you guys, all of everybody on the committee, because they made my job so much easier, and I was just along for the ride.
And, Sergeant, how long have you been on the police force in Geneva?
13 years.
13 years. And prior to that?
I was a college student.
Kidding? You came right out of school to Geneva?
I did my internship here, and then they hired me 6 months after I got done with that.
Wow. Where did you go to school?
Western Illinois University.
The Leathernecks. It's a cop school, isn't it?
The Harvard of the Midwest. I got to get that
is
in
that
there.
What it, yeah, well done. So what's your opinion of the chief?
He's a great guy. You all could not have made a better decision. Outstanding decision.
Okay, that's enough of that for guys. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brulette, Kevin Brulette, come to the podium, big guy. You're the class president, Geneva High School.
Yeah, that's correct.
If you guys don't know, the lovely, I guess, keepsake that we all received last week, courtesy of Mary McKittrick, celebrating 100 years of City Hall, was designed by this gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Very
nicely done. You've also designed innumerous amounts of posters and flyers for major special events,
yeah,
including
been,
the Paul Ruby Foundation,
been a few,
I believe.
Yep.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you're very, very talented.
Thank you.
What are your plans next year for school?
I'm planning on going to Columbia College in Chicago. So,
are you going to live there or are you going to commute?
I'm hoping to live there.
Is that right?
All depends upon where I can work out. So.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
It should be pretty good. I'm excited for it.
I bet.
It's the next step going along, so doing what I enjoy.
What do you hope to study and major in?
Either graphic design or advertising design.
And they're different?
Yeah, they're slightly different. I think it's going to take me a little while to come to the differences between them and realize those, so I'm just going in with graphic design to begin. So.
That's cool, man. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And just to be with Dean Kelly's got to be riveting.
Oh, not at all.
Clearly he doesn't know what riveting means. So,
I have no complaints.
No complaints. Does anybody have complaints about you, Dean? Apparently not. Well, thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate
Kevin, for all of the nonprofits that you do all the work for, I think you should start coming up with a succession plan and think about how you're going to take all your talent, everything you do, and find us the next person. Because there's really going to be a hole without, I mean, I can't think of a community group that isn't touched by something you've done for them or designed for them. And, I mean, we could follow you to Chicago, but you probably should think there must be someone else who has your talent.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's really, it means a lot to hear that from everyone, so appreciate that.
So start thinking.
I'll try and think of someone
otherwise
to fill
we'll
in.
Stalk you.
Yeah. Feel free to follow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kev. Dean Kelly, you want to add anything?
Not particularly. I'll speak quickly.
As he approaches the podium.
No, just to second some of the things that were said. It was a great process, and I was just happy to help the group that is obviously there for us every day here in the city of Geneva. So it was a nice process to be part of, and appreciate everything all the men and women do from the Geneva Police Department.
This guy's got the best commute in town. He lives about, what, a block and a half from the school where you work?
Block,
yeah.
It's
amazing.
Yeah.
Are you ever late?
Well, I can't get myself in trouble as the dean, so
that's true.
I can afford to be, yes.
That's awesome. Thank you very
right.
much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And by all means, gentlemen, if you have someplace else to go tonight, feel free to sneak out. I would wait for the cops to leave first, though, but go ahead. Thank you very much, commanders, chief, sergeants. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. Scouts, on the back of the agenda, you'll see a bunch of items that have an asterisk next to it. These items were considered at last week's Committee of the Whole meeting. They were voted upon and agreed to unanimously. Therefore, they're placed on what we call the omnibus agenda. And I can entertain one motion to approve all those items. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Hill. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ralph Dantino. Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
The omnibus agenda passes unanimously of those present. Item number 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $1,425,377. And 93 cents.
Is there a motion to approve the bills as read and displayed on the city's website?
So moved.
Second.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes.
Give this one to the pasta for posies lady, Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Thank Alderman you. Kilberg. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 12 is presentation of ordinance, petitions, resolutions, and bid awards. There are none. Item 13, new business. We begin with the audience who has graciously joined us this evening. Any new business from anyone in the audience regarding anything? Questions, comments, suggestions? Mr. McQuillan, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Bob McQuillan, and I reside at 2677 Berkshire Drive in Geneva, Illinois. I'm going to read an email that I sent to all of the aldermen and copied Mayor Burns last Monday, the 27th. I received one response from an alderman. Dear alderman, listed below is a link to a recent article from an online publication known as the Geneva Patch. The article, as you can guess from the subject line of this email, deals with the misuse of City of Geneva email addresses. While everyone has a right to their own opinion, this article was written by Terry Flanagan, and his wife is identified as a city alderman in the article preview. Someone could perceive that Terry, in a roundabout way, is speaking for the city council, just as people perceive that John Zahm is speaking for Senator Lawson. Let's make no mistake. This issue should never have been made public in the manner that it was. It would have been much better if this was handled privately and then, if necessary, an investigation be undertaken by the city. Right now, the issue is out there, yet no one has been identified as filing a complaint with the Ethics Commission. So the good people of Geneva have been used as pawns in a political campaign that is getting dirtier by the minute. This issue is no longer about who supports who in the county chairman race. It is about the actions of Kevin Burns as mayor of Geneva. Also, let's make it clear that I absolutely have nothing to do with the FOIA request or knowledge of the emails until the day they were released to the public. That morning, I was asked my opinion and said that the plan to release was wrong and should never have been done publicly. Those who know me know that I don't hide behind other people and will not ask someone to do something that I will not do myself. I would not have held a press conference on this issue. Since it was done, I do believe an investigation by someone or somebody is now necessary. Once it became public, the residents have a right to know what happened. Okay. I have said my piece. Where does this leave the City of Geneva City Council? Quite frankly, you are in an extremely difficult place. The city is already dealing with the recent credit card scandal, and this email issue has only added to that dark cloud. Every alderman was elected to represent the best interests of every resident of Geneva, and I know each of you take that responsibility very seriously. I believe the City Council has no alternative but to request an independent investigation of the use of city-supplied services of all employees, including the personal use of cell phones, smartphones, desk, and laptop computers. This is the only way the residents can regain trust in the operation of the City of Geneva. The blame for the need of this investigation is shared by many, but ultimately, the mayor of Geneva has brought this problem to himself. From what was released and his comments, it is clear that there was a violation of the use of city paid services. It is now your job to make sure the proper investigation is conducted and that all city policies be followed from this day forward. If that requires a special council meeting to decide on what type and scope of the investigation, so be it. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Kilburg.
The couple of comments in response to that. That would help, wouldn't it? No, I think the ethics charges that were leveled recently against our mayor certainly have been taken seriously by the council and by the city staff. In Geneva, we have an ethics code in place that has been in place for several years. Yeah, as it should be. And our municipal ethics code applies to all elected officials of the city as well as all city employees. There should be no double standard, and the code should be applied equally. We are all aware of the recent allegations that have been leveled against the mayor during the course of the campaign for Kane County Board. And I might remind everyone that to date, no formal complaint outlined in our ethics code has been filed by anyone as a result of those charges. Even without a formal complaint, though, this topic has not been ignored by the mayor nor by the council, and that in the interest of good government and full disclosure and transparency, the FOIA information has been turned over to the ethics code or to the ethics commissioner for a review and an opinion. And as an alderman, I am comfortable with the process that we have in place, and that in due course this process will play out and the community will be aware of the rendering of the commission as it relates to it. Now again, there have been some challenges that have presented themselves as it relates to this subject, and again, I won't get into all those specifics because obviously it involves a political campaign, but let me at least speak for myself, that this process has moved forward, it hasn't been ignored, and that I think that in due course the community will be satisfied with the result of that process. I don't know, I'll turn it over to any other aldermen that might have something that they would want to share.
I think you said it well. We do take it seriously. The process is in motion. Not a whole lot to add.
As it relates to the if I can finish, as it relates to your second point, actually in the packet that the council received over the last week, City Administrator McKittrick has provided the city or with the aldermen with an update as it relates to administrative policies, and it involves about 5 pages of information as it relates to this very subject that you'd also referenced as it relates to policies and dealing with some of the unfortunate developments over the last couple of months. And I think that it shows that there's a lot of work that's taken place as it relates to tightening up some of those administrative policies. Some of these had been working on previous to this development, but obviously there's still work that needs to be done. And to say that nothing has transpired since that development would be an understatement. To say that it's been totally addressed would be an overstatement. But let's just say that this has not been ignored either, and that at least at this point in time, I'm comfortable with the progress and the effort that's been put forth.
Can I readdress?
Certainly.
First of all, I never stated that nothing was done.
Okay. Well,
nothing's been done publicly. So
right. That's true.
So I guess I have two questions. Is the administration policies that were available in the packet to the aldermen available to the public?
Yes.
Is that online? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then secondly, did I hear you to say that there will be an ethics commission investigation? And will that be done in public or behind closed doors?
I can't answer those questions. All I'm telling you, though, and what I wanted to impart to you tonight is, though, that the process is moved forward and that there's a lot more maybe been done that has been in the press.
Didn't doubt that, but again, it should be shared with the residents of Geneva. Thank you.
I can appreciate that, and I would agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think anyone likes the position we're in. Certainly, the mayor doesn't like the position we're in. And like I said, it was not handled properly. I know John Zahm, and I despise the tactics that he uses in many political campaigns, but he had every right to FOIA the information, and if there's an issue with that, then that has to be taken up with the Illinois State Board of Elections, and I hope someone does do that, but here this is a situation that we need to handle as an entire community.
I agree with you.
So I hope that Ethics Commission meeting dates will be published and open to the public. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? New business comments, sir? The guy who's not going to help make pancakes, or you are going to help make pancakes.
My name is Ron Volk, and I'm here with some scouts who are working in their community.
Yes.
Or citizenship, the community merit badge. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but could you elaborate just a little bit so the scouts can understand what this issue is about? I think some of these guys here are just blindsided. They have no idea what we're talking about right here.
It's probably appropriate for me not to comment, but I will turn it over to the ethics advisor who has been duly appointed via the current ethics advisor, which is Mr. Radovich. He has given his powers to Mrs. McKittrick, who is in consultation with an outside attorney. So I will defer the comments and the question and the answer thereto to Mrs. McKittrick.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
this point, I'm not sure how much detail you're looking for. What I will say is that the city received a Freedom of Information request regarding activity by the mayor via his telephone, credit card, and city email address. That information was provided to a Mr. John Zahm, who requested it. Mr. Zahm made that information public and alleged that the information that he received was in violation of the state and local ethics code and statute. Beyond that, I can tell you that it is being looked into via our city code and procedures that we have in place. And the city council will be updated as soon as we have any information. I know that that probably doesn't answer all of your questions, but it's a very involved subject with many details that I'd be happy to discuss after the meeting to answer questions if the scouts want to stick around.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for the direction that the city council has taken, but bear in mind that this is an issue that we were confronted with that is really something very new to us, and it was very confusing. And it was difficult for us, in a sense, to perceive just the direction that we should be taking. And it's something that we feel, and I think the council will confer with me, that it was a time-consuming effort. And things had to sort of settle in, and we had to get a sense of where we were and what was to be done. As I indicated, this is totally something new that I've never been confronted by, nor has any of the council members as well. And from the direction at this point in time that I see that we've taken and the council has taken, I think I, as well as the council, will probably feel rather comfortable with what is pursued at this point in time.
I don't disagree at all. I mean, I'm glad to hear that things are moving in the right direction. I am a little concerned with Ms. McKittrick's comments that she won't discuss it during the meeting, but will discuss it privately afterwards. I think that's one of the problems we're running into is, you know, he said, she said, down the corner. And if everything is out in public, I usually find that you can deal with the information if you get the right information. If someone says something to somebody else and then it goes down to a fourth person, everybody knows that information is not going to be correct by the fourth person. So I would prefer that anything to be discussed on this matter should be discussed, not necessarily this evening, but in a public meeting that is videotaped that people can watch in their home.
I just wanted to make a comment that, Mr. McQuillan, I'm sure that everybody here, and I can't speak for everybody on the City Council, nor do I ever purport that I would, or anyone else in my family would, but I do want to make a statement that we are as transparent as we can be, and we will, I'm sure, within a reasonable time, get back and make sure that everyone understands and knows the position of the ethics and where we're
going. Don't disagree with that. And I don't like standing here. I really don't like standing here. But it has to be done. I'm a resident of this community, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned that the city is losing the trust of the residents. And actually, this city is great. I think Mayor Burns has done a great job as a city mayor. I think Mrs. McKittrick has done a great job as far as trying to cut back the budgets. I think the aldermen have all done a great job in a very difficult climate over the last 4 years. And this is a situation, as Alderman Singer just said, we don't know how to deal with it. But let's find a way to deal with it. And let's find a way to deal with it pretty quickly.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. Mr. McClellan, I just wanted to, why leave? Come on.
I feel like a school board meeting.
Just to your promise to us all, you did not pass on our emails,
yep.
But I am the one who responded to you.
Yep.
And I said a lot of what Alderman Singer said, I've learned through the years that not to respond in a knee jerk with my emotion, to let it settle.
Yep.
And you totally understand that.
Oh, I agree with that. I was not even going to read it tonight, but you were the only response I received in 7 days, and I believe that that period of time is enough time for someone to respond to an email, and I was concerned that it was not going to be addressed, and it appears that Alderman Kilburg did have a written statement or was reading from some kind of notes, so glad to see that. So I am, again, I don't want to say I'm happy, because I'm not happy, but I'm glad to see that you guys take your job seriously, which I already knew you did. But again, it needs to be in public.
Well, and I just wanted to remind you that everything is in public. We cannot meet alone. We don't meet alone.
That.
We don't even, we're not even all friends. So there's no under, well, I mean, please, 10 people, you know.
Hey, you can't meet in a group of three and you get...
I don't even know if there's three
of
us that get along
the law
at any given time. So there is no private discussions. That is absolutely not happening. And if I could speak for Mary McKittrick, which I'd love to, why not? In my opinion, what she said to the Boy Scouts was not as much as I'll talk to you off camera, as much as if anybody marches up with a direct question. But trust me, I'm looking at the boys like when she's talking to them, and this is what? I mean, it's overwhelming. So I believe she's offering them the opportunity. If anybody in this hall wants to stand up and ask a question right now in open session, let's do it. But I did take it as Boy Scouts are
well,
not going to bore
I would prefer,
no
this
offense.
Is my policy, is that I don't like to have private conversations because, again, they can be misconstrued by either one of the two parties having them. So that's maybe why I'm not real friendly with people either, because you get into conversations and a lot of things get involved that way. So if you ask the questions in public and responses made in public, there's no issues. And like I said,
I could not agree more.
I think the community can deal with the issue if it is presented the right way and all the facts are known. Can I sit down?
We'll wait and then we'll say for you. That's how we roll.
Come on, Mr. Hill. I know you want to say something.
Don't wake me up.
Mrs. McKittrick?
Thank you. I just wanted to speak to Mr. McQuillan's comments. I most certainly did not intend to imply that I wanted to speak to the Scouts secretly and convey information to them that I would not convey publicly. As you can guess from their Scoutmaster's questions, they don't know what the subject is. So they're not at the same point that you are. So my intent was to try to provide them with more information that you have that they don't, to try to answer their questions. Beyond that, I don't have more information at this point in time as far as your questions go. I'd happily share it. If I did, I don't. So my only intent was to try to bring them up to speed on the situation, not to hide anything.
See what told you to wait.
I'm getting up just to get my buy one free glass.
Mary, do we have a timeline from when the attorneys? Okay.
Get two.
So.
Buy one, get one free.
So I'll jump in now. Trust is sort of a funny thing. To mistrust somebody or mistrust a body because something happened is maybe an unfortunate reaction. But like in one of the examples in Mr. McQuillan's email, if a friend of mine steals cash from my house, it's unfair of you to mistrust me because I don't have a safe in my house. Where the trust comes from is how I respond to that, how I act subsequent to the unfortunate incidents. And I think that Mr. Kilburg's comments indicate or are meant to indicate that we are acting, we are taking these seriously, we're acting as expeditiously as we can, given Mr. Singer's comments that we aren't really sure exactly all the steps that are necessary. So my hope is that through your comments, through their comments, and through our actions from this point forward, the trust that you are concerned about being damaged is actually renewed, restored, and strengthened based on how we handle this going forward. We can hurt that, or we can exacerbate the problem somewhat, or we can exacerbate the problem quite a bit by allowing it to spin into a witch hunt, by allowing allegations to fly left and right. And so we have to proceed deliberately, openly, quickly, but carefully, so that we don't further damage whatever trust we have hurt. I'm probably preaching to the choir, so I just couldn't help myself.
Anyone else? Any additional new business, sir?
Someone to be reckoned with.
Oh yeah, don't disagree with
me. My name is Jacob, and I'm a Boy Scout from Troop 37.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi. This summer we are going to be taking a high adventure bike trip to Niagara Falls from July 21st through August 4th. This trip is going to be about 700 miles that we will be biking, and we plan on visiting several places, including Toronto, Ontario, Niagara Falls, and Cedar Point. We are going to be raising funds for the Paul Ruby Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and our goal is $12,000. We hope to make this public to everyone and that they know that we're going to do this, and they just help support us along the way. And if anybody would like to give any donations to us, we would gladly hand them over to the Paul Ruby Foundation, who would then get them to the people who need it for the Parkinson's research and hopefully one day a cure. Thank you.
Jacob, could I trouble you for your last name, and if you could spell that for us as well?
It's Volk, V like in Victor, O-L-K.
And will you have a website or something established so that if people want to learn more about what you're planning to do soon?
I can get one. Okay. Will you share
it with us so that we can broadcast it as well?
I do not have one currently, but I can get one. And when I do, I will.
That'd be great. You can email us. Just use the right email. And that'd be great. So,
I will.
Send it via carrier pigeon, please.
Are you going to be riding?
I am.
Wonderful. How many miles? 700 plus?
Well, we don't know the exact number, but it's going to be around 700.
How many miles a day?
Our average is 65 miles.
Really?
And the other impressive thing, if I can just interject, Jacob, is the troop has designed the ride, planned where they're going to sleep, planned the entertainment. It's a completely scout-led venture. The adults will be going to with emergency vehicles, but it's completely independently led, just like your meetings.
Yep, they are just there to supervise and to guide us and to throw in ideas every now and then. We do all the work, really.
Typical, isn't it?
Including the paddling.
So the scouts are riding, but the adults are in a car?
There are several going to be riding there. Okay. Actually, the moms are going to be riding the car.
Okay.
Excellent.
But we have several of the dads who will be riding with us, and we have several Boy Scouts who just turned 18 who are going to be considered adults riding as well.
And what grade are you in, sir?
I am a freshman here at Geneva.
Wonderful. That's pretty cool. Good luck.
Thanks.
Very ambitious.
Yeah, it is.
Anyone else? Anything at all they'd like to share with the council?
I guess it's my turn to pitch.
I think I know what this is.
Yeah. My last opportunity to pitch Pasta for Posies. It's actually this Wednesday, March 7th, from 5 to 8, at the Riverview Banquets. That's just outside of the Geneva property, Geneva City
limits.
Thank you. Tickets are $10 if you buy them before Wednesday, and $5 for children, $10 for adults. Tickets are on sale at the Geneva Chamber of Commerce, City Hall, Geneva History Center, Graham's 318, the Olive Mill, Riley Drugs, and of course the new Geneva Ace Hardware. If you fail to purchase them beforehand, tickets are just $12 for adults and $6 for children. And all of the proceeds go to planting all of the flowers in the downtown area. So we ask for your support. It's an all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper, and Pasta for Posies is the name. And hope to see everyone there on Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you. March is eating month. Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I passed out a new magazine called Retail Minded to just about everybody in the on the council, and I've got one or two extras. And it's another retail publication amongst probably several hundred that are available in the country. But the important one here is that we have two residents of the city of Geneva, Robert Hillary, who's a creative director, and Julie Hillary, who's a managing editor. Local residents, residents of the First Ward, no less. And it looks like it's going to be a very interesting retail-oriented magazine, and everybody who has a chance to see it, I think, will appreciate it and benefit from it, especially in the retail business. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything? We're going to be hosting a policy discussion.
Still.
On the Prairie Green Preserve Wetland Mitigation Bank Program. So if you're interested in sticking around and listening to what this says, is all about, feel free to do so. If you need to sneak out, obviously we understand. So this is Dick Gunch, our Director of Community Development. Mr. Hunt, you need some lights off probably for your presentation?
Yeah, just trying to.
You have to restart. It restarted, so you got to turn it back on.
Oh, down below?
It updated while we were talking.
Oh, I see.
Pretty good. Good evening. I'm Dick Gunch, Director of Community Development, and I'm here to present some information on the work that we've been doing in the Prairie Green Preserve Wetland Mitigation Bank over a number of years, just a quick summary, and to get your feedback and thoughts on the direction that we've taken with our staff work on this property and this project. To recap, back in the mid-late 1990s, the city was involved in the acquisition of multiple parcels of land out in this western area of Geneva. Out here you've got, right here is Peck Road, and up on the north, off the map, you've got Route 38. Down on the south here, you've got the Union Pacific Railroad tracks. The city has acquired 540 acres for a permanent public open space that is intended to serve as both a prairie restoration area, a passive recreation area, and a wetland mitigation bank. This happens to be a portion of the overall plan that's been approved by the City Council for the development of Prairie Green. It involves a system of walking and hiking, hiking and biking paths and trails, about 4 miles worth throughout the site. And then in this central area of the site, if you look at the, if you, to orient yourself, here's the corner of Brisher and and Peck. And so going to the southwest, there's a large area that's defined as the Wetland Mitigation Bank. And this is an area consisting, as per the plan, of 76 acres of wetland area and another 30 acres of wetland buffers. The basic principle of a wetland mitigation bank is to basically sell wetland credits on a per-acre basis to development entities that receive approval through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to fill wetlands associated with development projects in other portions of the Fox River watershed. The wetland credit values, they're variable from one wetland bank to the other. There are both public entities and private entities that own wetland banks. The city's bank, we've currently set the values for wetland credits at $50,000 per acre. At this point, no wetland credits have been sold within the bank. So getting back to kind of a quick history, in 2007, the Army Corps of Engineers authorized the permit to the city to actually build the wetland bank. It was built in 2008, and then a series of 5 years of wetland monitoring was then initiated by the city, and we used a consulting firm to assist us in this monitoring activity. The activity required by the monitoring activity required by the Army Corps of Engineers really consists of two components. They're monitoring the success and health of the vegetation, that is the wetland plant community that's laid out in the approved mitigation bank plan, and that it also incorporates monitoring of groundwater hydrology, that is the subsurface water that basically feeds the growth and development of vegetation within the wetland bank. Our monitoring started in 2009, and just a short time into that monitoring year in the spring, we experienced extensive flooding of the wetland bank area. This is the lowest portion of the site, obviously, and we estimate that there's somewhere between 40 and 50 acres that was inundated. And that was after it had been built and seeded in 2008. That flood event had the effect of killing off most of the vegetation in the wetland bank that started growing as a part of the overall plan. So then we immediately proceeded later that year with a supplemental planning within the wetland bank. I think it was a little over $10,000 that we spent in reseeding the bank. We also took some steps in working the wetland bank hydrology is controlled by a system of farm tiles, some of them going back 75 or 100 years old. And what we've done is we've gone into that drainage, that farm tile drainage system, and we've added control structures to help control the groundwater hydrology within the bank area. And so we made some adjustments to those groundwater control structures in an effort to deal with this flooding issue. 2010 came along, and that spring was not as wet as 2009. At the same time, we felt like we had made some progress on controlling this groundwater and as well as surface water flooding. So 2010 was fine. We had good growth of our wetland vegetation. The monitoring report results improved, and we thought we were on the right track. 2011 came along. We had another severe flooding event on the site, really very similar to the one that occurred in 2009. That caused us to back up and take another look at the overall design of the wetland bank and to look to our monitoring consultants as well as other civil engineering, another civil engineering firm that we work with on drainage issues to look more specifically at what's going on out at Prairie Green Preserve. So we're at a point right now where the Army Corps of Engineers has reviewed the situation at the site. They have expressed some concern about these two flood events, and we are involved now in a game plan, or plan, if you will, to remedy conditions and get this vegetation and this groundwater hydrology back in a mode where the wetland bank can be successful and the vegetation can properly grow at the site. So what we're proposing at this point is a program that would involve this during this season to plant a series of test plots at various locations within the bank with various types of seed mixes that would basically test a range of seed types that might be successful within this wetland bank area, taking into account the fact that it's likely to receive additional water within the bank area during these spring flood times. And it's proposed by our consultant that we go through this test plot monitoring then for two growing seasons, and that in 2014 we take stock of the performance of these test plots and determine either a plant and or seed mix that would be most successful for these growing conditions, and then proceed in that year 2014 with a supplemental seeding. And there's a likelihood of plant plugs being involved in that program as well. The monitoring program right now is costing us about $11,000 a year. The test plots look like they're going to cost about $3,700 to set up, and then we'll be monitoring it for those two years, this year and next year. So that's really where we stand at this point in time. I wanted to bring you up to speed on this problem that's been rather vexing, challenging. It's a complex system of both drainage, surface drainage, and groundwater hydrology that we're dealing with. And I think we've got good technical resources working with us to solve this issue. And really looking for comments or feedback on what I presented. And we are hoping that we can proceed along the lines that I've outlined.
Mrs. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to add a few comments to what Dick has already provided the council. I think most of the council may also realize that the city issued bonds probably 15 years ago now or thereabouts in the amount of $10 million to purchase these properties as well as start the development of it. Those funds have been expended. So I want to make you aware, and this is a major concern that I have going forward, is that we have no budget for this. Right now, we're bringing in an income of about $90,000 a year based on the farm leases that we have. We also pay out about $20,000 in property taxes because we do have to pay property taxes on those parcels that are farmed. The others are non-exempt or are exempt from taxes. So we are looking at all future bond payments, all the rest of the development, including the plantings, the mitigation of the water issues, coming out of general fund, which is already tapped, as everyone knows, and we've cut back over the 20% over the last few years. So we are really strapped as far as contributing funds to this project. So it will be an ongoing challenge. I also want to note that I believe that we have invested as far as the development of the site, approximately between $400,000 and $500,000, as far as improvements go. Some of those, as Dick explained, have not come to fruition because they are plantings that were flooded out. Also, another concern is that as we work forward with the Army Corps and trying to establish the wetland bank. My understanding has been, and I believe that they've conveyed this, I don't know how strict of a position they will take, but my understanding is that once we start selling those wetland credits, we have a limited amount of time to complete the wetland bank to make them avail all of the acres available for sale. And that's one of the reasons that had the plantings taken root, so to speak, and we had acreage available to sale, we were being very cautious about that first acre being sold, because when the clock starts ticking, then we've got a limited amount of time to finish the development of the whole 70-plus acres of wetland bank. So that's been another concern, because we've had very limited funds to do that. So those are some considerations I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention. This has been a major ongoing concern of mine, because, as I said, we've depleted all of the funds over the years. At one point in time, part of the bonds were being abated, and some of the monies from the bond sale was being used to abate the property taxes. We can no longer do that because, as I said, we don't have funds left other than the income coming in. So this will continue to be an ongoing challenge for several years. We've got about half of the bonds paid off. Yeah. The other issue that you've heard us talk about and seen in our reports, probably Dick's as well as mine, I believe both of ours, have tried to keep you up to speed on the discussions that we've had with the Forest Preserve District. And it has been the city's intent from the very beginning for eventually this property to be owned and maintained by the Forest Preserve District. And we've been talking to them for several years about that. To make a long story short, the Forest Preserve District is interested in taking the site, but not until the bonds are paid off and not until the property is developed. That will cost several million dollars for that to happen. Until that time, it's up to our citizens to fund and maintain that properties and our staff to use as a resource to oversee the project. So anyway, those are just some additional thoughts that I wanted to share with everyone.
Cheery.
Sorry.
Mr. Marks and Ms. Flanagan?
I know this is going to, Dick, this is going to sound stupid, but I'm going to ask the question. Isn't the idea of wetlands that it's supposed to flood when we have heavy rains?
Yeah.
Well, and now.
I mean, it's flooding when it's supposed to, is my understanding,
yeah.
But I guess.
You very quickly get into a very technical area
here,
and it has to do with the type of wetland that is in the core permit that's been approved for the project. And what this is in layman's terms, it's a sedge meadow. So it's a type of wetland that has kind of a wet quality to it.
Okay.
And the plants are wet tolerant, but not inundated in a so that you've got cattails and surface water. It's more of a wet.
So the Army Corps says, yes, it's supposed to flood, but we're still supposed to have vegetation on it. Is that the?
The Army Corps is really saying it's not supposed to flood as much as it flooded.
Okay.
And the wetland plants that are in the plan and that we planted back in 08 are not really tolerant of the amount of water the site's receiving.
And then, Mary, you said we collect $90,000 a year, right? We pay $20,000 in taxes, and we spend close to, sounds like $20,000 to keep it up for the year, or?
Well, it's so that's we varied like, over the years, the amount that we've invested, whether it's for the seeding or the
monitoring.
Yeah,
the monitoring, and then we've had other improvements that we've made. We've got a mile of bike path out there. We've not, on Prairie Green site, not in the wetland. And there's other improvements that have been made. The community garden project up in the far corner of the site, outside of the wetland. You know, we've worked with the park district and the forest preserve district on that.
What's the? This is another. What happens if we just let it alone? Mm-hmm. Just say, you know, so be it. We can't do it. It's too costly. We're not going to sell the permits. Let it as vacant land.
Before you answer, Dick, let me chime in. That is the crux of the discussion tonight.
Okay. Well, that's my question is
exactly. You know, I think we have to come to a decision as a council and policy board whether we continue to invest money in a project that, for all likelihood, we probably can't afford.
Right. Well, what's the downside to that is my question.
And should we let it go, for lack of a better word, fallow and just have it as
open space?
Open space in perpetuity.
That is really the question. Certainly back when this project was started, no one envisioned the real estate collapse that occurred and the effect that had on new development and the need for wetland credits, the market for credits in the first place. We're standing there with in excess of $3 million of value in wetland credits, ultimately, that we can sell. So there is some upside. When you look at all of the costs, does it cover all of the bond payments plus all of the improvement costs? It doesn't.
Well, the bond payments are taken care of by, I mean, that is actually on every resident's real estate tax bill, isn't that? That's covered. The bond payments are covered through real estate taxes, correct, or not all of it?
It's a general obligation. Yes.
And it is general a special line, if I remember. It is a general obligation bond.
It is a general obligation.
And what's
what's
the downside to just leaving it sit there, I guess, would be my question. I mean, would the Army Corps come back and say, hey, you're half done with the project, you really need to finish it, or is it?
Well, if you just let it sit there, it would reach a point where you would lose the formal status as a wetland mitigation bank if the city was not going to maintain the property, complete the wetland improvements. And so if there's a downside, the downside is that that wetland credit value that's
dropped.
It's just gone.
But it's
well, we only received authorization to sell the first group of 25 acres credits in 2010. So it actually hasn't been officially on the market because it had to go through this monitoring first before they would release
it. But
the
now
credits.
Technically it's off the market right now because of the flooding. Has the Army Corps pulled it off?
No,
or
not? We have received formal authorization to sell 25 credit acres. So we have the ability to sell credits today if we had a buyer.
But then we would have to finish the project with an estimated cost of, do we have a roundabout number on that, or is that just a guess?
There are different numbers that have been bounced around, but it would be probably a low six-digit number to complete the wetland.
A low seven-digit.
Six or seven?
Six. In terms of the wetland improvements themselves.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the fully improved
site.
No,
not the whole site, just the wetland.
I just asked on the wetland itself.
I know Alderman Flanagan had a question. So,
if you want to chime in.
In essence, what we're talking about tonight is to continue forward. If we choose not to Mr. Marks's point, the land is in perpetuity open space. Number two, if we continue to farm the land, we'll pay taxes on that portion that is farmed. If we do not farm the land, we don't pay any taxes on that.
That is correct.
So there's a lot to consider. In my humble opinion, we can't afford to move forward. And that's the sad reality of the situation. I think most residents are delighted that that's open space. We tried to maximize the open space by selling credits. Unfortunately, to your point, the market fell. And the value of those credits fell with it. So, Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, don't we have aquifers out there? And doesn't this wetland sit above one, or is it?
The aquifers are, and I'm not a geologist, okay. But they're deep. They're way down low. This is actually.
And it doesn't seem to want to move anywhere where it's supposed to?
This is a case where there's multiple things going on here. The site is clearly receiving more surface water than the design was built to handle. Mm-hmm. And there are variables at work here that really just go beyond what was contemplated in the design. Part of the reason that we're suggesting that if we move forward that we do this very limited test plot kind of program with limited cost to pursue this thing is because we think that the way to go here, if we were going to move forward with the Wetland Mitigation Bank, would be to almost take the position that the site's going to get more water than what was originally intended. Let's fit the vegetation to the amount of water it's getting, and let's get the blessing of the Army Corps of Engineers to go down that path. They've indicated a willingness to look at that. And so that's really where we've taken things to this point. I actually have a meeting early in April to present the idea here on this this test plot program to them down in Chicago.
So I want to just ask you, can we do this later, though, if we just... Yeah, if we just stop for X amount of years and then pick it up later, you're saying that we would lose the, you mentioned something about losing something, not credibility, but
well, because the wetland vegetation isn't performing as set forth in the current permit that we have for the bank.
Okay, so the permit is the one
we have a potential if we do nothing of losing
and
that
then, and then
permit, then we
up.
Lose the bank. And we lose the potential.
And we can't pick it up ever.
Well, you can pick it up, but you got to reapply through the federal government.
And how much would that cost?
I wasn't even around here when that was done. I can't tell you, but there's a formal application process that takes many months, even more than a year to get it through. So it's.
So what was the cost? What would be the cost to keep it going right now, yearly? Do you have a round off figure?
Right now, we're into basically a monitoring program that's costing us, I think, $11,500 a year, and it's likely the 5-year monitoring program. We've completed 3 years. That'll probably be extended if we move forward because they've got to monitor any new plantings that we do. This test plot program, we have a quote to do that work, and that's $3,700.
So we're somewhere around $15,000 maybe, say, give or take?
About.
And we're getting $70,000 right now?
We're actually getting, right now, our current farm contract on leases, we're getting $100,000 a year, and then there are property tax payments off of that.
So it's 90 clear?
No, it's about 75 clear.
70. So you're
70,
right.
75.
Right. Yeah, first time.
And how long do you think how long do you think that we could survive on $15K a year?
Well, at this point we can just keep moving along the path that we're on, and if we're doing that, we're doing that in the hope of the development market improving and our capacity and our ability to sell in the market wetland credits down the road.
So, can I interrupt for a second?
Go ahead.
Your point about the Forest Preserve District not wanting to take it until it's improved. And
until its bonds are paid and no improvement.
And the improvements are going to cost millions. The wetland credits that we would sell would help us fund the improvements.
Right.
If we do nothing, how do we get the improvements done?
Don't.
Or do we just keep the property forever?
We have no funds to improve it.
What improvements are we talking about?
The bike trails.
Passive recreation.
Yeah, we're talking about bike trails. There's
statues of the old
bird
land.
There's the wildlife viewing stations. There's a variety of different things in the plan. And that plan is malleable because I would expect that over time the site and the use of the site would evolve.
But my only point is I think if we do nothing, whether we, because she says we can't afford it, the cold bucket of cold water over here is saying we can't afford it. If we do nothing, we keep the property.
Right. Yeah, we still keep the property.
But we can afford to still do the engineering.
Dick, how many other wetland mitigation banks are we competing against?
Well, actually, there are, I want to say there are 7 or 8 on the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers website in this northern Illinois area.
So just so everyone understands, if I want to build a building in southern Illinois, I can buy an acre from Geneva.
You can, but again, each one of these credit purchases is evaluated by the Army Corps, and they work very hard at, if you're filling a wetland over here in the Fox River watershed, the credit
should be the same.
Should be bought in that same watershed. So in an active development area 5, 7, 9 years ago in central and east central Kane County, the prospect of being able to sell credits with to other developers that are developing land in the Fox River watershed is pretty high. But certainly under the current conditions, that's no longer the case.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Our referendum, did it not say that we had to provide passive recreation, or was the referendum just to purchase the open space? I don't remember exactly how it was worded.
There was nothing in the referendum language itself that required it. It was for park-like, city park-like setting.
Okay, so we would not be violating any referendum language, or by not, or by leaving it alone.
So there's nothing in the referendum language that said
you specifically
wetland bank,
had to do it. Okay.
I mean,
or
there were,
passive
there were a number
recreation.
Of things, at, and for those that were at around at that time,
I was. I don't remember. I don't remember what it said.
There was an implication.
There was a suggestion that income would be raised from selling prairie seeds, from wetland banking, and also as a watershed for stormwater surface and surface water.
I just
as
didn't
well
want to go back on our
as well
on
as
our
limiting, as well as limiting
promise,
development.
So
that was one of the.
But the more specific obligation came by adoption of the plan. The development plan for Prairie Green?
The passive recreation plan is what I'm referring
she
to.
She was
witness.
Asking about the referendum itself, though. There's nothing in the referendum language that calls for that.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to know.
If I can add one. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was wondering, is there an agency out there that we could seek relief from or fundings from? The Corps of Engineers, would they come along and maybe possibly grant some fundings to us to continue on the project?
The Army Corps of Engineers isn't a funding entity. They're a regulatory agency.
A regulatory, yeah.
You know, I think maybe we're at a point where we ought to make the public aware of the fact that we're in a crunch here financially, really moving this project forward, and that I would think that in our community, and looking at some of the success stories that we've had as it relates to some of our parks and the philanthropy that we've seen, especially as it relates to something like Prairie Green, maybe we need to make the public aware that we would be open to naming rights or if someone would be so motivated to memorialize a relative or someone that they think highly of, maybe that would be an enticement that would generate the kind of revenue that we're going to need to really carry this project through to its completion, something that the community can really look to. Decades out as a project that was carried out and successfully achieved. Now, you know that's my thoughts. I don't know if the council would feel that if somebody was so inclined to give the city several million dollars to see this project through to completion, I would have I wouldn't have any type of a problem in naming it after whoever it might be. Now, I don't know if that's ever been made public before, but I think that if it was made public, I think that would get some people really thinking about estate planning or, considering it. And, we might be surprised what might materialize over the next year to 18 months. That's just a thought.
Good thought.
I was going to just add one more thing. I know Mary mentioned we've had many conversations with the Forest Preserve District staff on working through the details of agreements that would basically transfer ownership at some point into the future. There's certainly a possibility and something we would have to pursue with the Forest Preserve District if the council was so inclined, and that is to say that rather than conveying to them a fully improved site in accordance with this plan, that site take on some other form. Mm-hmm. The Forest Preserve District acquires raw land all over the county at different points in time, and we've represented in good faith that we've been about the business of working towards improving this site and transferring the ownership to the Forest Preserve District. But there may be just cause here for us to go, you know, to the Forest Preserve District if that interest to have this within their sphere of property ownership to take the site at some lesser level of improvement and see, you know, what they say. They have acquired other property just west of Prairie Green Preserve just recently. In the thinking behind that was all about adding that piece to an ultimate ownership of the Prairie Green site. So they have, I guess I would characterize their interest as pretty keen in ultimately owning Prairie Green Preserve.
Yeah, because I understand what you're saying is that there's no way to prevent this flooding when we get these summers with the extra rain, and there's
no way to drain it downriver.
Let me
explain. We've done some, and it gets into the piping system. That there's some plugs that have been put in some pipes. We put in an additional culvert to accelerate the drainage off mm-hmm. the wetland. That was installed last year. We're looking to see how it performs this spring. So there are again the civil engineers have camped out on this. And we're basically trying to do very, very minimal cost things, both on the vegetation side and on the drainage side, to deal with the situation and get to the point where we've got a successful wetland growing.
As I recall, the referendum, and Mr. Radovich had mentioned the limitation of development, I think, was one of the real goals, and as I recall, that was a big factor in the community's approval of this $10 million referendum. And there was a concern of growth going so far west that we didn't know if we'd end up the Mississippi River or not. But I think that was one of the goals, and I don't recall much discussion at the time about this wetland situation, and it was probably there, but nobody really understood it.
Yeah, the, you know, from the standpoint of environmental education, non-point source water, surface water mm-hmm. Cleansing, the wildlife habitat, the aquifer recharge area protection. I mean, there's probably a dozen benefits that were discussed
yes.
back when the referendum issue was presented to the voters.
No way to get rid of the water, though. Can't even drill down to the aquifer. That'd be too expensive.
I wish it were that simple.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Dean.
Yeah. I guess I would be interested in seeing what a 3-year budget, to see what a minimum maintenance right. cost would be for a 3-year period of time. Hopefully during that period of time, the building economy will turn around. Maybe we'll see some life with some of these developments, and there may be a market for those credits. At the same time, I think what we need to do is we need to ramp up some type of an educational campaign that the city's looking for revenue to really carry Prairie Green on to its completion, and that we would be looking at or would be prepared as a city to work with whoever might be so inclined to potentially donate a sizable portion of the necessary proceeds to get that accomplished. I mean, and Did you really give us a number as to what that might take on an annual basis?
No,
Do you think that could that be developed so that we don't want to lose those credits, but you know we can't hold out hope indefinitely that those credits, mm-hmm. or that that we're going to see an uptick and that those credits are going to be of some value to us in the foreseeable future. But I think 3 years, I think that would give us a pretty good indication of whether or not there's some hope that we'll be able to cash those out at some point.
And if I can add to that, you did mention something about the seed mixes and
yes.
Supposedly to you have some sort of test bed going on until 2014.
Right. Yeah. These test
so
plots would be set up, they'd be
the
watched for 2 years, and you know, we were we've been working with our consulting team to really come up with least cost alternatives mm-hmm. on how to address this situation. They came up with the idea of the test plots. On April 4th, I'm going to the Army Corps offices to basically pitch that idea to them.
But if you sold 1 acre, it would start a clock? What clock is it? Where
are
we starting? And
yeah, under the permit and the rules that we're operating under, the way our, it's called our interagency coordination plan with the Corps, it's really an agreement. That agreement would call for the completion of the project in its entirety once the first acre credit is sold. Mary's was correct in how that was set up. We've discussed that concern with the staff of the Army Corps. Mm-hmm. They have suggested, and we have not pursued it because we wanted to deal with this flooding situation that we're in currently. But they have suggested that we could redo the ICA and make a proposal to them that would stretch out the improvements over time rather than starting a clock that requires us to complete the improvements in 1 year. But again, we have not gone through that process to revise the ICA. But that's been suggested in light of the economic circumstances that the project faces, and we've shared all of this with the Army Corps staff.
That clock is just for the wetlands, though, right? It's not the
correct.
Right, but something has to be completed.
Yeah, but what has to be completed?
The wetlands.
Well, at this point, we've got authorization to sell 25 acres.
We have
of 90 credits.
That we can.
We've got like a total credit bank. It's a little over 100 acres and credits of varying values that we can.
And the rest of them are not ready to be sold. Is that
because the full improvement of the entire bank has not been completed yet.
Dick, is Mr. Kilberg's suggestion a good one to at least move forward a little bit in terms of a 3-year projected cost estimate for maintaining the land? Or do you want a definitive direction tonight that it's been a slice, let's move on?
Well, it's a big decision in light of the investment that we've made in the site. And I guess the question becomes, Mary has stated it well, you know, this is a troubling proposition to complete the entire plan. If we're able to keep the wetland bank status with the Corps sound and they're basically happy with what we're doing, if we can do that at least cost, and if we can work out an arrangement for the ultimate ownership of this property to another agency like the Forest Preserve District that doesn't take a fully improved site with all the paths and bird watching areas or whatever. You know, that's again minimizing our costs and saving our investment. But the reality is we've got extensive bond payments.
And the third option is simply to arrest all work on it.
Arrest
now.
All work, forfeit our core permit on the wetland bank.
But it's not a lost. It's not an additional cost to any taxpayer, because the bonds are what the bonds are.
Right. The sunk costs or lost costs are
exactly
what
yeah,
we've paid to create the bank.
Right. Okay.
The portion that we built.
Okay.
Dick, do you think that the Forest Preserve might be more interested in taking over the wet bank area if we offered them the entire Prairie Green Park area all the way to Peck Road?
Actually, that's what we have been discussing with them. It's not just the wetland bank we've been discussing. It's the whole Prairie Green Park.
And Pepper Valley.
Who doesn't?
Good idea.
I don't think so.
That's right, Dorothy. Don't tell my parents that.
I remember I suggested that we put a 9-hole golf course out there, and that would have been washed away.
Too many water holes.
Yeah. A lot of water holes.
What's the pleasure of the committee or the council? Excuse me.
I think I'd like to see the three-year expenses for the wetlands at this point. I think we all realize we can't complete the improvements for all of the amenities, but I'd like to see the cost just to, rather than just throw it down the drain at this
Didn't that start, cost us $400K, or is that how much did it cost us so far to create the wetlands?
Yeah, I wish I had
okay.
The engineers here. I do not remember that cost.
Okay.
I want to say that the number that's sticking in my head is it was at least a couple hundred thousand.
I mean, if we make enough money a year to keep up the wetlands, you know, after that 90 and after paying the taxes, it may be worth just keeping the wetlands going. But we honestly all know we can't finish the amenities right now, and I don't think that's something that's on the table unless somebody comes forward with the money and wants the naming rights. But I think it at least looks to see if we could have at least a rough budget for 3 years to see if what we take in on that property will at least keep the wetlands going is probably worthwhile.
I know. Yeah.
Mary, do you want to add something?
I think what we've already proposed are two out of the 3 years. We're talking about monitoring and seeding or plugs, plant plugs, basically. We're talking about $15,000 for the next 2 years. The third year is anyone's guess, and it could be any amount, depending on what happens this year and the next year with the plants. So, I mean, we can give you a number, but it's going to be pulling a number out of midair because depending on what happens, whether these take or not, is going to determine how much going forward. But the 2 years of the test site that we're talking about, I think, should determine whether or not those different types of plants will take hold and
right.
will stay.
They don't.
Right. The supplemental effort that would take place in 2014, if we were to move forward, that's going to be some number much higher than the monitoring costs and this test plot work. But I just have no way of giving you what that would be.
Well, let's see a proposal for the two-year plan then.
It's 15,000 per year.
15,000
about,
per year.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, and run.
And we're making enough money
to cover that cost.
To cover that cost, including taxes, property tax,
yes.
real estate taxes. Well, let's do it for two more years and then decide what the heck to do.
Dean?
Yeah. Put some sand out there.
I guess I'm just saying that, okay, we know the 2 years and then we got 30,000 committed. The third year, I mean, would it be safe to assume that we're looking at another 15,000 potentially and that in good faith at least we're making a commitment and we've got something to talk to the Corps of Engineers about as it relates to the city and our willingness to continue to try to plow ahead with this under some difficult economic circumstances. Are you saying that at the end of 3 years, that's really sort of D-Day as it relates to the development of those other 75 acres?
I wouldn't say it's D-Day. After 2 years, we're going to have some performance of these test plots.
Right.
And there will be a decision that will have to be made about what we do. To cover that whole area and what combination of seed and plant plugs are involved, I'm just not prepared to give you that number. But that third year, it would be a big jump. It would be just some number well above 15,000 because that's just really the monitoring and the investigation costs. We're talking about an area that's roughly about 35 acres of involvement in this area that's flooding. Mm-hmm. So it's that cost to do some supplemental vegetation planting. Oh. It could be 50 grand, just to throw a number at it. It could be 20 grand. It could be 10. I just don't know.
Let's at least put a three-year plan together and take that to some degree into our consideration. And, you know, with a couple of years and some focus and effort, you know, if we could raise some funds, mm-hmm. you know, and reapproach the park district or the forest preserve at that point in time, and if we had resources available, you know, whether that would be $3 million or $5 million potentially for naming rights, you know, the Forest Preserve might look at that a lot differently if we had some type of a dowry to give them with it as well. I think it's imperative that we buy some more time with it and really put forth some type of an effort to elevate the dilemma that we're in here and the fact that we don't want to offload additional taxes on the public, but there may be someone out there that may be eager to leave their mark on the community in this way. So and whether or not that's something that you would drive, I mean, I'm sure that there are agencies, there's companies out there that would be prepared to maybe take that on and drive that into the community to see if there would be some interest.
Well, we can certainly develop an approach to doing that if it's the pleasure.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
I just have, Mary, just to clarify in my mind, we get in 90, we spend close to 20, another 15, so roughly around, you know, $60,000 a year. Is that in a separate Prairie Green fund, or is that actually just in general fund? Then
it's in Prairie Green fund.
It is. So there is something building up in there or not in that? Because we're making money every year, at least it looks like, but we're really not, or?
We're really not. We're paying the taxes, and we're putting it back into Prairie Green for the plantings, for the bike path, for anything that we've done out there.
So we have started the bike path. I mean, I guess the question is now then is should we stop the bike path and stuff and look at the greens? I think that's probably some clarification they want and keep that money banking so in 3 years that we can turn around and seed that if we need to. I mean, that's what I would feel comfortable with at this point is, you know, let's not continue with the bike paths and the amenities at this point. Keep that money for the third year when we see if we do have the right seed or mm-hmm. you know, what we need to finish off those wetlands. Because the only way that's ever going to get done is, A, get rid of it to the Forest Preserve, or, B, sell off those wetland credits.
Right.
I mean, bottom line, that's what I see. So I think we should probably stop all other improvements out there and focus, see what the wetlands do, and leave that money start banking up so we can seed that if we find the right seeds.
In principle, that's pretty much what we've done, but there have been things that have come up along the way. The community garden project is the garden plot project moved forward. I'm not sure where all the monies came for to do all of that, but I know we had some expenses associated with that. We did extend the trail to because it was dead ended in the site. And now we've completed
it.
We're
done with that stuff at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
We can hold off for any other improvements for 2 years.
We can.
That would probably be my recommendation at this point.
I agree.
I could live with that.
Do you feel comfortable with the direction we've given you?
Never come back here.
So suspend all development currently, passive or active recreation. Bring us as best you can an estimate for that third year. We still retain control for at least the next three. Then we can make that difficult decision 3 years hence. Mary?
I'm good.
Okay. I'm good too.
That's fine.
Thanks.
Jay Womack left. Could have been out there planting, for God's sake. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Any questions from any member of the audience regarding what just transpired? A motion to adjourn is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Marks, seconded by Hill. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you very much, Ralph. Good night, everyone.